Welcome to the podcast. My name's Tony Sanders, and this is the From the Ashes podcast. Now, today, this is June the, what is it, the 22nd now? Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's June the 22nd, and I'm here with Matthew, my youngest son.
Hello.
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 Hello to the podcast world. And I told Matthew, I said, hey, man, if you got time, come over and let's do a podcast. We've done several podcasts together in the past. I mean, we've had a little fun with it. And sometimes when we do a podcast, it doesn't always go well.
Most of the time it doesn't go well.
We've deleted a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, we have.
Okay. And it's because sometimes when you do a podcast, things don't always come out like you want them to come out. Like they just, you know, sometimes you get into a groove and it goes well. And then sometimes terrible result.
Yeah. We found a lot of the time we'll think it goes well and we listen to it later and we go, why don't we do that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we do it again.
I have found in some podcasts I've done that I will say certain things over and over and over, and I don't realize I'm doing it until later in post, and I listen to it and I go, well, that's, what the heck was I saying?
It's easy to fall into. It's really easy to fall into.
Easy. Easy. Now, Matt, this podcast, I guess I wanted to do one so that people kind of know a little bit more about you and how you're doing and that kind of stuff. So we ought to get into some of that. Now, currently you're taking classes at a local college up here.
I am, yeah. I am currently on summer break. I'm not taking any summer classes, but I am in school to be a teacher right now for middle school, which everybody says is the worst years. But, you know, it sounded like fun. So
you did have a chance this past, what, I guess this past year, past semester,
the one
you just finished, to go actually do a little bit of, I guess, student teaching or something?
Yeah, so I've started my clinicals now. So for those that don't know, for the teaching programs, it starts in clinicals, and then they run through three sets of clinicals, 1, 2s, and 3s. Mm-hmm. Each one lasts about a semester long. I've just finished clinical 1s. Now I have 2s and 3s left. 3 is your proper, like, student teaching. But for most people, if you just call it student teaching, it makes more sense.
Right. Now, my daughters are in their 30s, and Brad has graduated Clemson University with a degree in computer engineering. Yeah. And he is down towards Charleston doing his thing. He seems to love that job. Now, he's thinking about getting into a little bit of, I guess, I forget what he had said the other day, but he was thinking about doing some other stuff on the side that he really enjoyed, or he thought he would enjoy, and it's pretty good money in it, so he may do some of that. Brian, he's over in Texas somewhere, in Texas A&M, playing, racquetball.
Yeah, he's a little obsessed with racquetball lately.
Man, he is all into the racquetball, okay? And he's gotten in pretty good shape. I mean, he was always in decent shape. Brian's a smaller, you know, his size compared to, you know, his brothers.
Yeah.
He's the smaller of the three by a pretty good bit. But he's very athletic. He's quick, and he loves playing racquetball. And he's been playing with racquetball and some, pickleball, I think?
I think he did a little bit, but I'm not sure. I think it's mostly racquetball. He might have played a little bit of pickleball.
And apparently, one of the guys he's been playing racquetball, he's been taking lessons from somebody that's a nationally ranked, high-ranked player.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he said he was like second or third or something crazy like that. He was really high on the rankings.
And he said that when he was playing, Brian, he was pretty competitive. Really. Yeah. It's pretty competitive. Now, you had a chance last semester, like we were saying, to go do some student teaching. I guess it's our clinical, whatever. What is it called again?
They're clinical ones.
Clinical ones. Okay. And you had a chance to go into a classroom at a elementary school in Bowling Springs. And how'd that go?
It was very enlightening, actually. It gave you a very different perspective than what you would think it would be. I spent most of my time, my actual clinical ones was really weird because my teacher was gone for half of it. So for clinical ones, they pair you with a co-teacher, and you're supposed to work kind of in tandem with them, and they'll kind of show you the ropes and stuff. They get you kind of indoctrinated into how grading works, how giving, like, small lessons work. You're supposed to give at least for our school, 3 lessons at a minimum. I did dozens.
Well, you went a lot more than most people.
I did.
As a matter of fact, didn't you, when you had like time off from school during spring break or something or whatever it was, I forget now, but didn't you spend like a lot of time up there?
Yeah, my spring break, I just spent the whole thing over there. I went there for the whole part of the day until I had to leave to go to my normal work. But that's more than most people did. By the time we got done, we were required to have 50 hours in total at least. By the time I got done, I had almost 80.
Okay, so you had a good bit.
I had way more than I should have.
Right.
But it was good to have. It's extra experience, and it worked out nice because, like I said, my teacher was gone for a lot of it, so I spent a lot of it working with some of the other like faculty members and stuff, but it gave me a lot more hands-on experience than most people do.
Well, you said you got along with the teachers pretty well.
Yeah, they all seemed to like me pretty good. I spent a good bit of time talking with some of the other ones and some of the principals and stuff, and I asked probably more questions than I needed to, but I asked a ton of questions and got a lot of really good answers. But I still have all their emails and their contact stuff, and every now and again, they'll send me different things.
Now, what was the kids' ages and stuff that you were, you know, working with?
So I'm doing middle school. So this time I was working with 7th grade, so that it'd make them 13, 14 in that range, roughly, give or take a year or two.
Now, they didn't tie you up in a corner and leave you locked in the closet or anything?
Yeah, I left
like that.
Crying every day. They beat me up, actually. They hogtied me, threw them in the corner.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Now, what did you think about them?
No, they were really good, actually. A lot of people, when they hear middle school, they think it's going to be this big, hectic mess and people are going to be going crazy. It's really not that bad. It's really not at all. Especially, and I guess it probably helps me being kind of a giant compared to most of them.
Yeah. Well, you're pretty tall.
Yeah, because I'm roughly 6'5"-ish. Mm-hmm. And I'm just a big person in general too. So especially standing next to a middle schooler, I look humongous.
Right. Compared to a female.
Yeah. So yeah, they kind of don't really say much. They kind of go, okay.
Right.
Which helps.
But you know, that being said though, you always had a really laid back personality.
Yeah.
I mean your entire life, I've only ever seen you get upset or mad maybe 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, it takes a lot.
Yeah, you have a good temperament for kids.
Yeah, most of the time, and the times that you've heard me on the podcast, you'll probably notice I talk pretty consistent the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I am in normal life too. I mean, I stay pretty even keel when I'm doing just about anything, which is weird because even when bad things are happening, I'm still the same even keel. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, you don't change a whole lot.
Yeah.
Now, you're not like Brad. Brad gets, he gets a little excited.
He gets fired up.
Yes.
He does.
He has a whole different personality spectrum. Now, he's a great guy, but he has a different personality. He deals with things differently.
Yeah.
Now, Brian is, he's kind of like you more so because he's pretty even keel. I don't see Brian, well, he gets a little frustrated. You're more calm than he is actually, but Brian seems to get along with everybody pretty well.
He does. I've noticed Brian gets real fired up afterward.
Yeah.
He handles with whatever he's got going on,
yeah,
and then he gets fired up.
Then he'll
up
complain
it
later. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's true. That's true. So your teacher wasn't there for most of your time.
Yeah, so she was pregnant.
Okay.
And then she had a couple other little complications, and she stayed out for, I'd say, about 60% of it, give or take. So it was very strange.
Now, are you happy with the, I guess when you decide to go into teaching, you have to decide or kind of have an idea of what grade levels you're interested in teaching, right?
Yeah. So you take some people take placements. I just picked because I liked the way middle school felt. I had the privilege back in high school to do a little bit of an early teaching program, the teacher cadet program. And that let me jump between a couple of classrooms and see some of that. But my rationale for it was middle school was about the perfect middle ground on stuff because they were young enough. They weren't really set in on what they wanted to do. So you could show them some of the cool stuff and they'd still be excited about it. When you get to high school, they get real stubborn. They get to where they've kind of picked a direction, at least for the most part. Either they're interested in what you're trying to teach them or they're not. And it's hard to make them interested in it. When it comes to elementary, they're too young for you to do a lot of the cool things. And then you spend half your time babysitting.
Right, right.
And that's just, I didn't want to do that.
Well, you sound like you're pretty happy about the choice you made.
I think so. I think it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. I think you're going to do well with it because of your temperament.
Yeah.
You're one of those people that good-natured, really even keel, great for dealing with kids. You don't get really too high or too low. You're kind of, You know what I mean? You're very passive about most of that stuff. It doesn't really get to you.
I try.
Yeah, you've done a good job with that. I've never seen a side of you that would make me think you'd make a bad teacher. I've never seen that.
I had one day I was working with my clinical one teacher. We called her Dr. B, but she was actually one of her students started fussing and yelling, and she just wanted to raise sand for no reason. Mm-hmm. It just was one of those mornings. Come to find out later, she had some stuff at home going on, but she came in and she was all fired up from the get go, and probably about, I don't know, an hour in or so. So towards the end of her class, she just started screaming and stuff, and she got in a big fussing match with her teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I don't know, I looked at her and I was like, "Hey, why are you yelling?" And she just looks at me and she kind of just like stutters and shuts down. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And she goes, "I don't know."
Well, I'm sure she's a nice lady. She was just having a bad day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the student was fussing and yelling. I looked at the student and I'm like, "Why are you yelling?" And she goes, "I don't know." And I'm like, "Stop it." Well, she sat down and calmed down, but she had a bunch of stuff going on. So it was just one of those things.
So you've got you don't have too much longer left and you'll have your teaching degree.
No, I got a full year, but it goes by so fast.
Yeah.
I got clinical twos and threes, but they'll fly by.
Right. And after that, you'll be ready to move on into actually teaching, I suppose.
Yep. I should, if all goes well, by the time I actually get out of my clinical threes, there will probably be one of the schools that I worked with will have an opening and they'll probably invite me to come do it.
Now, aside from the teaching, You're pretty good with some stuff. You're good with your hands, and you're good with you have a pretty good mechanical aptitude.
I do. I'm kind of all over the place with a little bit of everything, but yeah, I spend a lot of time working on mostly cars, but cars and lawnmowers and pretty much anything with an engine really tends to be just something I get into a lot.
Yeah. Now, when you were younger, you had a little bit of a slight speech issue. It wasn't bad, but now obviously. That's way in your past.
You'll still hear it sometimes.
Well, see, I never notice it.
Really?
I
catch it all the time, but I guess it's because I'm the one saying things.
Well, just to be cautious, when you were little, we took you to a speech therapist just to kind of make sure that we gave you the help you needed in case it was an issue. But I quickly realized that you were going to grow out of that super fast.
Yeah.
It was just a phase. I mean,
it takes repetition. It does.
Yeah.
Once you're cognizant of it and you spend the time to try to fix it, it goes away.
And I think early on that probably affected you. Well, I think what I saw as a parent, your brothers pretty much all made perfect grades in school when they were little. And your grades, not quite as good, but you were always just as smart. But I think that little speech setback early on, it kind of affected your confidence just a little bit.
It does. It puts a damper on language as a whole, honestly.
Yeah.
Because when you get to where you can't get words to come out right. That
right,
in itself
right.
is rather frustrating, but that puts a damper on reading, and writing as well because of you kind of lump language in one big group. So once you get a handle on speaking, it lets reading and writing and that kind of thing come a little bit more fluidly.
And once you got past that, you know, you really started to really grow as a person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you could really see that. You know, that was just a tiny part of you growing up. You actually turned out to have really, I mean, if you look at it, your brothers are super smart people, super smart. But, and you're just as smart as they are. The thing about it is you have a much greater spectrum of things that you're good at than they do. Like, you know, Brad's a smart guy, super smart. But I don't know that he could go out there and tear down a car like you.
It's always funny now because Brad being the older brother, he's 4 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll every now and again, I talk to Brad a fair bit now, and he'll call me sometimes with random problems and he'll ask me for things.
Yes.
And I'm like, I got you, dude. It's fine.
So you took an automotive course while you're in high school.
Yeah. So I went to a little vocational school that runs in tandem with my high school. And they taught a bunch of trades is what they did. I happened to fall into do the automotive side of it. I did that for 3 years, went through the full program. Well, no, 3 semesters, a year and a half, excuse me.
And if I recall correctly, your teacher had a lot of good things to say about you. Automotive teacher, he did.
Yeah. I'll see him every now and again now, and he'll stop and chat and talk, and that's how I'm doing. And he seemed to like me really good. He took me, I went and did, I didn't know they even did this until then, is they do like state competitions for auto mechanics and that kind of thing, we went and competed with those, and I was one of the ones he picked to go do that.
Yeah. Well, he seemed to have a lot of confidence in your ability, really.
Yeah.
And you have always had a really high mechanical aptitude.
I learned fast, too.
Yeah. Now, I've worked on cars before in my past, and I can do a lot of stuff. I've rebuilt part of an engine. I've changed head gaskets and changed oil and worked on tires and brakes. And we talked about that early on. I had done stuff like that. But you far exceeded that. As a matter of fact, up here at the local District 7 is pretty much the school district we live closest to. Mm-hmm. But you had an opportunity to work there during the summer. And one summer, you kind of helped them in their shop back there.
Yeah, I was back there for a good while. Was it just one summer? I think it was two.
It might have been two. I don't know.
I think it was two summers, and I did like a little chunk during the period between. No, it was one summer. You're right. But I did work-based learning off of that vocational school.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for part of it, and then I carried that through into the winter break. So I did that for a few months, and I did the summer for a few months.
So when you were there in the shop, now, first of all, District 7, the people there were kind enough to let you work. Your mom works there.
Yeah.
And so it was a good opportunity you kind of slip in. And you were going to be a teacher anyway. You might, whether it's District 7 or another district, it's nice to kind of get to know people in the district rather than just as a student.
Absolutely.
You were kind of on par with the other people there, and you got to meet people, and they all like you.
Yeah.
And you're a hard worker. I mean, there's one thing about you. You've always been a very hard worker. You had an opportunity to work in the shop back there, and that gave you a little more experience because you had an opportunity to work on things that maybe you don't, you know, you wouldn't do in just a normal life.
Yeah.
And so what kind of stuff did you get to do while you were there?
I did a little bit of everything, really. I think probably the worst job we did as far as like magnitude of it was we pulled an engine out of one of our trucks and put a new engine in it and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We had some of the old F-150s that just, they were getting too old. And then those engines wore out. We put some of the other ones in. And we had some stuff that was a lot of minor things. We did a lot of brakes, lots of tires. But we touched a little bit of everything. And with that, too, we worked on a lot of lawnmowers, too.
Yeah.
They have a lot of Kubotas, and they have a couple John Deeres and one big Ford Baco and that kind of thing. So we jumped around through a lot of different stuff. But you see all kinds of stuff over there.
And you've changed out a few transmissions too, am I correct?
I have, yeah. I think the worst transmission I did was on a big, I think it's a 20-foot box truck from, I think, the 80s.
Yeah.
And that thing is a nightmare.
Right.
But we got there in the end.
But that's a pretty good bit of experience.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of experience. And the guy you worked with, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And Danny has a pretty good bit of automotive knowledge. Now he doesn't. I don't think at this point in his life, he has the most energy.
No, he's slowing down a little bit. He's an old man.
Right, but he's a good guy though.
Yeah.
And I think you were telling me that anytime you were working on stuff back there and you had a question, it was nice to have somebody like Danny to help you out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he was fantastic for that. He would tend to do a lot of the paperwork side of things, and he would get me a lot of information and get me parts. And he saved a lot of time on that end because he would let me stay hands-on working on things, and he would do all the running, which works out really good for that, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, anytime I had some kind of roadblock or had an issue with something, if I called him or if I went to his office and I'm like, hey, I need these things or I have this problem, he very quickly could either find the answer really fast or tell me what it is.
Yeah.
So there was no shortage of information by any stretch.
Right.
Because he's done that for his whole life.
Now, since you were able to get in there and do some lawnmower work too, that's kind of helped you out. Because, I mean, for example, I have a lawnmower. My dad was kind enough to get me a push mower out here. And it's kind of held together with bubble gum. And as it falls apart and stuff like that, as time has gone along, we probably need a new one really. But you've helped me fix that one multiple of times. I mean, because it's kind of, you know, right now, the other day we didn't have a filter handy. So we had to use a piece of a sock or something,
yeah.
And as a filter, but it's still running.
Yeah, what's weird is it still runs pretty good too.
It does run pretty good.
Like the blades and stuff probably ought to be replaced at this point, but the actual engine itself is still pretty strong.
Now you were telling me some of your friends they have you work on their cars now. They've kind of learned what I know that you're a pretty good mechanic.
Yeah, so a lot of my friends will call me now. I have a whole list of people that just call me for work sometimes. So usually, I don't know, three, maybe four times a month, I'll go do a little bit of side work, which is nice. It's extra money. But it works out good because it spreads fast word of mouth from stuff like that. So I'll do little odds and ends. Like our neighbor, I did a little spark plug for her the other day, which was right. A quick job. But
well, see, I had told her that you were a great mechanic. And I told her, I said, well, if he can't do something, he'll let you know. And I said, you really ought to ask him, because she had a water pump replaced and paid $2,000.
Which is absurd. Like, absolutely ridiculous.
And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I said, well, you could have paid Matthew way less than that. And he would have been happy to do it if it was at all possible.
Yeah.
And she, you know, and I don't know that she really believed what I was telling her.
Nobody does.
No, they don't believe it. Nobody does. But then she had a problem with her car, and she had just spent all this money. And so, naturally, she was like, okay, we got to give Matthew a try. I don't want to pay another $2,000.
Yeah.
Right. And you helped her fix her car. It didn't take you long.
No, it wasn't long. Honestly, I got here and it took me, I don't know, I think it was done after like 40 minutes. And half of that was spent talking.
Just chatting, yeah.
Yeah. So it's on an old, not old, I think it's like a 2014, 2016. So a few years old, not too bad. Just a little Ford coupe. And the intake, it wraps backwards over the engine and it covers part of the spark plugs. So to get to the spark plugs in the back that I had to replace were, you have to pull the intake and stuff off. Mm. And I've done that so many times on so many things. Y'all were running an errand, and by the time y'all got back, I was already done.
Right.
Because I just went through, zipped them all off, pulled it off, put it back together.
Right.
I mean, it didn't take long. It's not bad.
It's pretty impressive, really, because, I knew you were always smart. But as you got older, you really start to, your personality starts to kind of take shape. And
I found my little niches, too.
Yes, yeah. And your brothers were the same way. You know, Brian, we're going to tell this little quick story about Brian, and we're going to get back to some more of this, but Brian used to never speak. Mm. Remember how quiet he was when he was a kid? He was super quiet. And then when I would come in and I was upset about something with the kids, and I'm busting at Brad or whatever, Brian, he would just, his eyes would get big, and he would just sit there and look at me. And he would never say anything. Brian's super quiet. But then one day, he's playing, what's that game he was playing, do you remember? Where he did the digging and all. I didn't play it.
Was it
Minecraft?
Was it Minecraft?
Yes.
He had a big phase of Rust and Minecraft.
Yes, yes. And Brian played Minecraft, okay? Well, some people came. This was the weirdest thing. Brian, when you talk to him now, he really, he socially, he's a social butterfly. And you kind of are too. You get along with people very well.
I do now.
Yeah, now, right. And Brad's more like me. He, you know, pretty much hates everybody.
Yeah. Well, Brad gets along with people fine. He just doesn't want to.
Right. Well, I'm kind of that way.
He just wants to be left alone.
I have been pretty soured on people.
Yeah.
But you and Brian do much better than I do. You're much better people. Now, don't get me wrong. I've been a salesman most of my life, and I don't mind talking to people.
Yeah.
But I definitely have some trust issues with people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a big trusting person when it comes to people. Now, Brian was playing Minecraft one day. I'll never forget this. And some people came in his game house.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how Minecraft works, but the way the story goes, and it's a true story now, but you just have to forgive if I get some of the nuances wrong. They came into his house and stole a bunch of his stuff.
Yeah.
And Brian was terribly upset or did something to that effect.
If I remember right, this was like, it was, they call it Raiders, I think. It was an old game mode they use on some servers. It was a big public map that you built your bases, and it was like a public PvP server.
Mm.
They came in and they stole a bunch of his stuff.
Yes. And so Brian gets together with his buddies, okay, and he goes Mafia 2.0.
Yeah.
Okay? I've never seen this out of Brian. Brian's super low-key, never spoke. He gets his buddies together. They go over to these people's places or wherever they're at, and burns all their houses.
Burns it to the ground.
Burns it to the ground.
I don't think he looted anything either. Like, he didn't even get his stuff back.
Yes, it reminded me of something in The Godfather.
Yeah, like, he didn't want his things back. He didn't want their stuff.
No.
He just destroyed it.
It was the crazy. I never saw that coming out of Brian.
Just burned it to the ground.
Yes. Now, after that moment, Brian started talking.
Yeah.
And he never stopped talking after that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, now he won't quit now.
No. Great guy, super smart, but he never stopped talking.
He reminds me a little bit of Seinfeld sometimes.
Yes, he does kind of remind you of Seinfeld a little bit. He really does. He's very witty.
He does.
He'll fool you. Brian is sharp. I mean, when it comes to just witty talk,
mm-hmm.
And it'll get you laughing sometime, really.
No, it does.
It really does make you chuckle.
He's a character.
Yes. He's a great person to have around to just kind of life and kind of get things in a lighthearted mood.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, super smart. Now, the one thing about you that I found the most fascinating that I've seen over the years is, aside from I knew that when you did the automotive end of things, that you had a really high mechanical aptitude. Now, I don't know where that came from, but your mother's granddad, I'm sure you got some brain power from me. My dad's pretty smart. Your mom's bright. But your mom's granddad is Dr. William Lance.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You met him. I mean, when you were younger, we don't see much of him, but he's super smart. Right. Used to be a professor at Michigan University, and he did a lot of the omega-3 fatty acid research for the government. Mm-hmm. So, really smart guy. And so, I'm not sure if you got a little bit of that from him. I don't know, but you could just tell that you all were very smart. But I noticed, okay, that aside from being mechanically having a very high aptitude, and when I went in the Army, I wasn't in there for a long time, but I scored really high on mechanical aptitude mm-hmm. for the Army. But I noticed that you also had another side to you that was pretty impressive. You're a pretty good photographer.
Sometimes. It depends
on
the day.
You say that. Sometimes. But you do some really, really creative stuff. Yeah.
I have a lot of good things that I have kind of stocked up over the years. But at the same time, in the last like 3 or 4 weeks, I've also deleted almost 10,000 pictures.
Yeah, you take a lot of pictures.
So I take an ungodly amount of pictures and I delete an unhealthy amount.
Right. Well, but still, I've seen a lot of very creative. You have shown me some pictures that are, you know, people show you pictures sometimes and you go, oh, that's a nice picture.
Yeah.
You know, but some of the pictures that you do are definitely professional quality.
I try. I have some friends of mine that do photography stuff. That's what I'm doing later today, actually, is one of my friends is going to meet me for coffee because she wants me to look over some of her stuff with her and help her figure out some of her edits. But I have some friends that'll do it and I'll see some of their work and I feel bad because I'm like, yeah, it looks great. And it doesn't look as great.
It doesn't look great. Well, some people naturally have a good eye.
Yeah. Well, some of their stuff looks fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But some of their things that they get really hyped on, I'm like, what happened?
Right. Right.
I get kind of confused.
So, but you, I noticed here lately, that you, there's a young lady you've been hanging around. Mm-hmm. Nice girl. I don't know her, but I'm sure she's a nice girl.
Yeah,
but
her name's Ariana.
Okay. And you have been taking some, a little bit of art photography, photography with her, whatever.
Portraits and stuff. Yeah.
Portraits. Yeah. Yeah. And, some of them I saw were pretty good.
Yeah. I do that with a lot of people, but I've been doing it with her because I'm around her so much lately.
Yeah. And she's pretty girl too. Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes it easy too, honestly, because she's kind of photogenic anyway, which makes it a lot easier.
And I noticed you've been changing some of the backgrounds a good bit.
I try. I've been trying to find better ways to improve my compositions, and a lot of that tends to be background stuff. Mm-hmm. So I've been trying to find new ways to kind of improve some of that. And so far, it's a grueling process.
Yes.
Now, it's a lot of work.
Now, we've been doing, here in the office, we fix this room up. Mm-hmm. I mean, when we do a podcast in here together, we turn off the overhead light, and we have colored lights everywhere.
Yeah.
We love the colored lights during a podcast because it makes doing a podcast more fun, really.
Yeah, it does. It makes it more comfortable.
Right. And we've recorded some video and tinkered with lights and all this. And some of that is really, in the beginning, can be a little tricky.
It can be.
But we've gotten better at kind of getting a really good handle on the lighting aspect of it.
Well, and I'll tell you what, too, is photography is one thing, but videography and like cinematography, like actual video recording, is a whole different monster. Over the last few weeks now, I've been slowly kind of diving into cinematography a little bit because it's been kind of fun. And I have a camera now that can handle a lot of that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
lenses that can handle that, at least to the caliber that I'd want to do it at. And a lot of it is so much different than photography. Some of those settings are things that I wouldn't even think would matter, but they do. And then you get into like different hurt rates and like bit hurt rates, and they're numbers you didn't even know existed, but they affect everything. So it's been very different doing videos, especially in here too.
Yeah. Well, it was hard early on to get the lighting and the sound and all right.
Yeah.
Now we got better, but you know, it's weird when you want, you know, in the beginning, I think you kind of get the impression that you need more light than you really do. Mm-hmm. And we've learned that some shadowing is actually a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely can be.
Yeah, because
it makes it more interesting to look at.
Yeah, it's more interesting, and it doesn't just kind of, you don't get so, you know, just washed out. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a little more character. If you'll watch the old interview episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, for example, mm-hmm. you know, it was never washed out. They have a little bit of a kind of a mixed shadowy tone on some of their interviews, and it does lend well to the camera.
It does. They do very cinematic type interviews, mm-hmm. which they look really cool. Anybody that's seen them, it's a very recognizable style.
Right.
It's something that they do really well. And it's not easy to replicate. It's really not. It takes some getting used to.
Now, when you get done with your teaching degree, are you planning on staying around here? Or you got someplace? Where are you wanting to teach at?
I don't know. I'll probably do a little bit of both. I'm sure... Probably once I get done immediately, I'll be somewhere local, at least for the first year or two.
Now, doesn't that help you with some of your student loans?
It does. That's just anywhere in South Carolina, though.
Mm. And if you teach in South Carolina for, and I don't know how long, don't they wipe out your student loan debt?
Yeah, it's, if I'm not mistaken, it runs off of the number of years that you had some sort of loans. Mm. So whatever years you had loans, you teach a number of years and it knocks off a percentage every year until you knock them all out. So for me, I'll teach for 4 years, and then it'll start chipping away through that as long as I'm teaching in South Carolina. I think the other catch is I have to teach at Title I, which locally, a good number of our schools are considered Title I, which is nice.
Right, right. So you do have options there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I saw something the other day, and I forget where it was, but it was someplace, if you do a search online for the counties in South Carolina that pay the most. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't realize this, but some of the counties in South Carolina, they don't pay anything like some of the other counties. I don't know why that is.
I've heard something similar, but I've never looked into it.
Yeah, there is one county, and I want to say, and I forget, it might be around Lexington. I don't know, but you'd have to look it up. But I saw where they paid almost twice what you make here.
Really?
Yes.
That's obscene.
Starting out as a teacher.
Huh.
That's hard to believe, but some of the counties were definitely on the higher end.
That's very strange. I knew there was a difference, but I didn't realize it'd be
a dramatic difference. So, you know, that's one thing when you get out and you decide where you're going to teach, if you want to stay in South Carolina. And of course, you got to do what you want, but I would probably look at the counties that pay a little more.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, right now, my main goal is once I get done, I'll start teaching somewhere that I can kind of get a footing, and then I can afford to move to one of those better areas. And then hopefully at some point, I don't know if I'll stay in South Carolina or not, but the goal is somewhere in the ballpark of the mountains, just because I love the mountains.
You know, that would be kind of nice.
Yeah, really. I like being in the mountains. Yeah. I love the beach and stuff, but I just, something about mountains just felt right.
You know, the mountain air, the beach air is nice, but the mountains are a little more cool.
It feels different.
Yes. It has a nice feel to it.
It does. And it's one of my favorite things.
And where we are here in Spartanburg, not that Spartanburg's a bad place. It's just, it's not a great atmosphere here.
No, it's kind of boring.
It really is. It's kind of one of those things you walk out your door. There's not much you haven't seen.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't it doesn't captivate you.
The only enjoyable part of Spartanburg that I found is right after it rains and everything's kind of wet, downtown's kind of nice.
Right, right.
Because there's so many lights and things. It's the only time Spartanburg actually feels like it has more than just grind life.
Yeah. Now, we've talked about night photography.
Yeah.
Now, we both have a thing for night photography. Yeah. We love doing that. Now, granted, we don't always have the cameras we need to get the best night photography.
It's a struggle.
Yes. But we both really like that. That's something we share. I've always had a partiality to it. I love the way the lights and reflect off the rain or whatever at night, or even if there's fog or whatever. But it really lends itself to some really good photography.
No, I agree. It's some of my favorite. It's a lot more dynamic and interesting than daytime photography, because as much as I love your really bright light, you know, sunshine portraits and car pictures and stuff, they're just not as entertaining as lower light, higher contrast, reflective, colorful lights at night. It just looks better to me.
Now, were you with me the night that we saw the drone over the river? Was that you?
I don't think so.
I was at the river down here.
It might have been Brian.
I couldn't remember, but I was down here at this little, like a creek/river, not too far from where I live now. And I was fishing one night, and there was a blinky bright light that was started flying over the trees. And I couldn't tell how high up it was because, you know, it was dark and you couldn't get a good look at it. And it was flying over the creek there. And when I looked up, I realized it was a drone.
Okay.
Now, when I saw that, I got to thinking to myself, you know, if you've ever seen a drone take night photography, some of the higher end drones, it's really beautiful seeing all the lights. Mm-hmm. It's really nice. And sometimes we've gone up on top of White Oak Mountain and taken some photographs and that kind of thing at night. And now, granted, it's a little rough getting up to White Oak Mountain now. Some of the road last time we saw was falling apart up there. I wouldn't want to fall up one of those mountains, but it was pretty up there. But we've always liked that. We've gone down here to the bridge, down here at where I was talking about that little creek at whatchamacallit, I forget. But anyway, it's a really nice place to take some kind of night photography.
Was this down in Glendale?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, it's just we took some pictures on the bridge at night.
Sure, yeah.
Because sometimes they have them lit up, and sometimes they have string lights out there that they light up.
They do, yeah. I think they're down right now. They put them up usually for the colder months.
Yeah, it's kind of pretty when they do that, so it's nice. But it sounds like you've done pretty well. Now, when you were growing up with us, me and your mom, all of you, we were pretty tough on you about school.
Well, yeah, but it was important.
Yeah, it was important, but we were pretty tough about that. And we definitely, we spent a lot of time, I want to say preaching, because it was a lot of preaching, about going to college, getting a good education, how important that was, about not making too many mistakes early on in your life. We spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that? You think it helped, didn't help? What do you think?
Oh, it definitely helped. I mean, we're all in college. Two of us are graduated, and then now I will be here soon. Brian's at grad school for his master's or doctorate or whatever he's going for. So we've clearly made it pretty far, and we probably wouldn't have otherwise.
I think it's helped. I really think for sure. Now, we were, like I said, your mom is more laid back.
Well, she can be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she can be tough, but she's more of the laid back. Yeah. I've always been the disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. And that means that I get grumpy sometimes.
Yeah, don't we all.
but I always thought I was a good dad. I really did.
You are.
I was. I thought I was. And I think I really always wanted to see you guys do well. You know, I wanted to see you go and have a better life, and I wanted you to succeed, and I wanted you to be happy and have all the things in life that you want. And it looks like you're headed in that direction.
I think with where we are, as far as just being people at this point, it'd be hard for us to not do pretty well.
I think so.
Because I don't think any of us would be okay not doing something pretty substantial.
And really, you've all been pretty good with your money. Yeah.
Yeah, we've gotten pretty good at it now. Mm-hmm. It took a little while for all of us to kind of get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Once we kind of got moved out and stuff. But I think after the first little bit of getting moved out, we definitely found a groove to it that we do all right.
And Brad's done great with his money. You've done well. Now, Brian, he's on a whole nother level watching his money. Never seen anything like it with Brian. He's the most ridiculously frugal person. He will plan his entire week's meals on whatever food he finds on sale.
Yeah, I don't know how he does it. I really
don't. It's crazy. I mean, he saves everything.
No idea. He's a maniac, honestly.
He really is. I mean, it's just amazing. When I see all of you as you've grown up and become men, really, I it's amazing to see how you've changed.
Yeah.
And you all have your strengths and you all have your weaknesses and all, as we all do. We all do, sure.
Sure.
I mean, I have my own strengths and weaknesses, and I know what they are, for sure. And, you know, and I think sometimes when I look back over your life and I see the things that, as a parent, what I did pretty good, and I see a few things I probably should have done better. Thought I should have, you know, maybe done this or that. But I think as a whole, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, I think collectively it's come out really good for everybody.
I think so too.
Because I mean, regardless of whatever pitfalls there might have been, it's come out good at the end anyway. Yeah. I mean, those little moments won't amount to much of anything significant for the rest of us.
I agree.
I think there's been far more good that it outweighs the problems.
Now, my daughters, I don't see them very much, but do you recall how much I've spoken about them since
you?
Tons. A lot. It's a sensitive subject to me. Yeah. I get very defensive about them.
Sure.
But it's had a big impact on my life. And I do miss them. I do miss them. I hope at some point that kind of gets ironed out. But I really wished I could have spent more time with them. That's been my biggest failure in life for sure. And I guess it always will be unless something gets resolved. But when I look back on it, that's always bothered me. And I think as you guys have grown up, I've talked about that quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, we've heard about it our whole lives.
Yeah.
But at this point, I don't know what all will happen. Hopefully it does at some point start to come to some sort of resolution, but there's no telling because we've never really heard from them either.
And really those are your sisters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always weird that we don't ever, we know they're there, but we never ever really see them.
Don't talk to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's really strange.
It's weird to think that you have other siblings that you never really ever hear from.
Right. Like,
those exist somewhere.
But, well, now they know you're thinking about them.
Yeah.
There you go. If they listen to this podcast, they're going to know you thought about them quite a bit. And that's got to be nice.
Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, I wanted to talk to Matthew a little bit about what his, his future plans are and how he's been doing and that kind of thing. And I've enjoyed kind of sitting with him and probably in the future, we'll sit down with Brad and Brian and chat with them and have a few laughs and that kind of thing. And I do think they'll all have bright futures. But
I think
But I've enjoyed it. Matthew, it's good to have you hang out with me for a little bit.
Absolutely. You too.
All right, buddy. Well, guys, thank you for listening to the From the Ashes podcast. We'll be talking to you again soon. Y'all have a great afternoon.